So I think they asked me to do this presentation because I did live in San Francisco and I've been in New York for 20 years, so I guess I bridged the gap a little bit, and we actually do go to Staten Island. I'm going to talk today about our program called the Ambulatory Care Restructuring Initiative, which has been going on now for about 5.5 years. And first of all, I'll give you a little bit of background on the New York City Health and Hospitals Corporation, talk about this particular project and the data as it stands today and some of the lessons that we've learned from it. So this is what they told me not to do. Don't just click because it'll jump ahead. HHC is the public hospital system for the city of New York. Our mission is to serve everyone regardless of ability to pay. We're a public benefit corporation created in 1969, but many of the hospitals have been around for a long time, since the 1700s, 1800s. We are the largest municipal hospital system in the United States. We have 11 acute care hospitals, 6 diagnostic and treatment centers, which are large community health centers, 4 long-term care facilities, and about 90 smaller community health centers. We have an HMO and a home care agency. So this slide just gives you a little bit of perspective of the 5 boroughs of New York. As was explained earlier, with as many sites, we are constructed into regional networks across the city. So we did a patient satisfaction survey. It was the largest one we'd ever done. About 13,000 surveys were done. We serve about 1.3 million people. We did 13,000 surveys in the late 90s, and the number one complaint that people had was access. Access to be able to have an appointment, and then once they were in the facilities, how long it took them to actually see a provider and get back out the door. So in 2002, we developed this program where we set several key objectives to decrease our cycle time, from the time that a patient comes into a facility to the time that they leave, to 60 minutes or less, to have a wait time to get a new appointment or an appointment of any type, get to 3 days or less, and to have no-show rates of less than 20%. The most important thing for us was, and it's funny now because 5 years into it, we really we talk about patient-centeredness all the time, but at the time that we embarked upon this, to be thinking of ourselves as a patient-centered organization was a new concept. This was one of the first things that we did as a corporation where we really looked at transformative activities. It was the first time that we set about to really look at changing behaviors, not only of how we are and our staff interact with patients, but also what our patients could expect of us. We initially set out to do what we called patient visit redesign and advanced access, which many of you may have heard about. Advanced access for us morphed into something that we call patient-centered scheduling. So what we've done since 2002 is we've did 6 redesign collaboratives, which are learning environments that we bring folks together over a period of about 10 months within learning sessions where they can interact. There's a combination of didactic and interactive and small group activities. The 30 of our facilities participated. 64 primary care clinics were affected. And when we originally looked at redesigning the patient visit and reducing cycle time, we thought we really wanted all clinic visits to be provided within 60 minutes or less, and we wanted to have access to all types of clinic visits, What we realized is that specialty visits in an academic medical setting are a whole different ballgame with many, many complexities, and that we needed first of all to focus in one area, and we focused on where the majority of our visits are, which is in primary care. For us, primary care meant adult medicine, pediatrics, and OBGYN. So we looked at, in these learning collaboratives, the objective was to have people who were, to have interdisciplinary teams come together and create solutions. These teams of people who came to learning collaboratives were brought out of their work settings, they were taken offline, we had to backfill positions so that they could have time away from the clinics. They included physicians, nurses, what we call patient care associates, which are like medical assistants, secretaries, clerks, and we put them in a room. They came into the learning session having done some homework. They had to, before the collaborative started, track patients so that they could really see what we were putting patients through. And they, in tracking these patients and doing time and motion studies, they could actually see that a patient could come in and spend hours before they'd even see the physician. We had stories about patients who would come in the morning and bring in their breakfast, lunch, and dinner because they knew they were going to be there that long, hauling coolers into the clinic with them. The idea of transportation, which we also are very strong advocates for having transportation to people. We're a big city, takes a long time to get to places. We give people metro cards, we bus people around, but what we know about buses and other types of transportation is that everybody comes at the same time. So you have, if you have three shuttles a day, then you have three periods during the day where you flood the clinic, and you don't have any way to kind of parse people out evenly throughout the day. So when, particularly for our patients who with chronic illnesses who may be coming from nursing home, we have a bus coming in from the nursing home, they all come in at the same time. So there's a lot of issues around access that we wouldn't necessarily have thought about until we really started looking at minute by minute in the clinic what was happening. So this slide just shows some of the strategies that we used. Don't move the patients. With the patient-centered care, the patient comes in, we say hello, we bring them into an exam room, and then we don't ask them to then leave the room to go get weighed and have their blood pressure taken, go back out to the waiting room. Leave the room to go talk to a nutritionist, leave the room to go talk to the nurse, come back into the exam room to see the physician. What we do now is soup to nuts. They are registered, they are seen by all of the providers, and their next scheduled appointment is made in the exam room, and they're actually discharged from the clinic from their exam room. We realized how little we were actually support we were providing for our clinicians. Clinicians were coming into exam rooms that were poorly stocked and having to run around trying to find tongue depressors and syringes and trying to figure out where the nurse was so that they could do the immunizations. Not having not allowing people who were experts at doing certain things to do their jobs, whether they were physicians, physicians assistants, nurses, or clerks, really slowed the process down. And what we also found was that some folks were so used to the bad old days that it was hard for them to, for example, realize that clinic had to start on time. It meant that we all had to get there on time because we were expecting patients to get there on time. The system was very much crafted around what was good for us, and so if it meant that we would start later rather than earlier, which meant that there weren't appointments for people who were working before they went to work, then that was the way the clinic was scheduled. And I think that that was part of our realization about how we were not patient-centered. Just picking out a few of these. We also found that we often put off things. You know, everyone knows about, you know, charting and delaying charting and what a problem that is. It's not just something as kind of standard as charting, but not understanding what the workload is tomorrow and not anticipating that leads to surprises which can actually be anticipated. So anticipating the work every morning having huddles before with the interdisciplinary team, meets in the morning 15 minutes before clinic starts. You know what to expect that day. You know that you're having a certain number of patients who are coming in who are new prenatal patients. Therefore, they're going to take a longer time. They're going to have to see multiple providers. And planning for that, stocking your rooms for that, having the charts available and any other forms or electronic screens that you know you need available is an important way to make sure that your time is spent efficiently. The second phase of this, so the first phase was to make sure that the kind of the underbrush was cleared, that we, when somebody managed to get into the clinic, that we were going to treat them well, that they were going to be seen within 60 minutes or less, and they were going to be seen respectfully. Once we knew that when we invited folks in that we could do that, we moved on to patient-centered scheduling, which is our form of advanced access. And this is where we were focusing on having appointments within 3 days or less and a no-show rate of 20% or less. When we first started talking about setting the metric for this, we wondered, well, should the metric be no no-shows, and should that be, and what does that mean for people, and why do people not show up? And we settled on a no-show rate of 20% because of the reality of where we started from. We think ultimately it may be possible to get it down to 10 to 15%. But you'll see in my data slides in just a minute why 20% for us is a real achievement. In patient-centered scheduling, we didn't really start these collaboratives until last November, so we've been going now for about a year. What we know is that it's going to take a lot longer, that patient-centered scheduling is actually a lot harder for us than redesigning the visit. Getting the cycle down to time down to 60 minutes is primarily, not exclusively by any means, but primarily dependent upon the staff who were in the clinic. Getting the visit down to 3 days or less and having your no-show rate come down is much more dependent upon physicians and providers in the clinic and their schedules, which are often also inpatient and teaching responsibilities outside of the clinic, surgery, other areas of the facility, and much more dependent upon systems within the hiring systems, purchasing systems, and those things that thus are much less at the control of the people in the clinic, and so it's a much more difficult road. Again, we've had a lot. We've had four collaboratives, 62 clinics were participating. Here we really looked at using one visit type. Instead of a patient having being scheduled for a full visit, an annual visit, a short visit, a brief visit, a medication refill, we had all these different kinds of visits that people could come for. So if someone called and said, I need just to come in for a prescription refill, and we had an appointment available for a comprehensive annual check, they wouldn't get that appointment. They'd have to wait until the next prescription refill was available. So what we moved to was either 15 or 20 minute appointments that are generic. And everybody fits into that slot. If it's a comprehensive type of visit, they get more than one of those slots. But at least they can now fit in wherever we have those slots. Sorry, my whole family has a cold. So we also did something which was very difficult for a lot of folks in the clinics, which is we said, instead of booking somebody in every month because they're diabetic, or instead of booking this person in every 2 months because, excuse me, because that's what you've always done and you're afraid that if you don't book the appointment, they won't come back, tell them that you need to see them in a month. And you don't need to book them and leave it up to them to call back. That was incredibly frightening for a lot of people because they were terrified that folks wouldn't come back and people would get sick. And what's happened is that people come back. Instead of gumming up the calendar with a lot of appointments that people are never going to make because they're made into the future, 6 months down the road, 4 months down the road, even 2 months down the road, when they don't know what's going to be happening in their lives and they can't predict that they'll be able to come in, we're saying, no, it's okay. Don't bother. We won't schedule you now. Just call us a couple days before the visit and or even the day before, and we'll slot you in. For patients where there's a real history of not being able to come in, we book them. But for most people, we don't book them, unless it's within the next week or so. So we're now at 55 minutes cycle time, 6 days, third next available appointment, and a 20% no-show rate. The cycle time has been held now for almost 2 years consistently across the corporation. It obviously it's an average, so it really masks some 90-minute cycle times we have at some clinics and, frankly, some 35, 40-minute cycle times we have at others. So we've had a 50% decrease from baseline since the beginning with an average starting point of 119 minutes, but really we had a lot of 4 or 5 hour waits. The 119 minutes, again, is an average, so it masks some of those extremes. You can see that we've come down from 20 days to 7 days, third next available. Actually, it's at 6 days now, as I said before. These are just by network showing rather than by facility. Let me show you this one. Our no-show rates come down from about 38%, and it was over 50% at many of our sites, but to a corporate average of 17 minutes now. I'm going to skip this. So just let me just sum up by saying that there are a lot of operational issues. It's not just a function of wanting to do the right thing. We really wanted to do the right thing, and as a public hospital system, even though, you know, I say that patient-centeredness was kind of a new concept for us, I've never worked with more dedicated, caring people who have incredible relationships with their patients. It's just that our system was not designed to support patient-centeredness. And that's what I think is different now. But what really, what we found is that you have to do a lot more than just wanting it to be right and wanting to do the right thing. There are tremendous operational issues that get in the way. There are tremendous behavior changes that need to be made. And a lot of the things that some of the speakers before me have talked about have come up for us as well. We do have part-time providers and for our teaching facilities. Those missions often conflict. And I think I'm just about to get another little piece of paper. So I'll close with saying that our biggest challenge now, we think it's been phenomenal. The most important thing that we've done, I think, is show that we can make huge changes in how we do things. It's a huge thing to bring the cycle time down by 50%, to be looking at data every month, and if there is a spike, we do something about it. We look and we react. We look, we react, and we anticipate, and we look at the data at the corporate level. We look at it, at the president looks at it, the board of directors looks at it every month. Looking at it means that we do something about it, and that's made a huge difference for us. We have a long way to go. We want to work in our dental clinics, a huge problem in our dental clinics and all of our specialty clinics. That's our next area of focus. And we are anticipating that although our training period is over this December, thank goodness, we're now going into the sustaining phase, and that it will take us another couple of years to really work this fully into our culture. Thank you.